it seems, to have a dream, to open and run a bakery. But they took a chance, took the sweets to the street. Now they all have places where I'd love to eat.
Hello there, bakeroos and bakerettes. Welcome to the Rise Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Dick, and this is the show about bakers and bakeries and bakery owners and all the folks that work so hard, often through the night, to make the good stuff and share it with the people in their community. We're doing a bit of time travel this week. I'm recording this far into the future so that there is a show for you while I am traveling, because I'm out in Saskatchewan visiting the family, visiting some friends, experiencing life on the prairies again, and I'll see how long it takes before I'm pining to get back to the coast and back to my apartment and see the water in the mountains. I'll keep a record of how long it takes before I get homesick for my new home while I'm visiting my old home. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good to see my dad. Good to see the folks at Magpie's Kitchen, my favorite coffee shop back in Saskatchewan. It's going to be nice to see Cindy's folks and her sisters and that kind of thing. And I might even drive up north a bit and see my own sister up in Prince Albert. I'm not sure. I rented a car so I can bomb around all over the place. That's one of the interesting things about life on the prairies versus where I live now in Victoria on Vancouver Island. I don't even own a car here. And so I do most of my thing on foot, or I could ride a bike. I could take the bus, but mainly I just walk around and I get everything I need walking around. Where, I kid you not, while I'm in Saskatchewan, I'm going to put 1,000 kilometers on that car easily, because I'm going to be driving to Moose Jaw to see my dad almost every day. If I go to Saskatoon, that's 250 kilometers there and another 250 back. Driving around Regina, you drive everywhere. I'm going to be living in this car. And it's really strange. I'm always surprised at the shock for the first day or so of driving all over the place, and then it becomes second nature again. And I forget how much I enjoy walking about. So I've got that to look forward to. What you've got to look forward to is a really fun conversation with Steve O'Leary. And Steve is out in Annapolis, Maryland. He owns Black Market Breads, and he's going to explain to you where the name came from and his whole journey in food and in baking, and just this kind of rocket ship that he's on in building his bakery and growing his bakery over the last 3 years. Very nice guy, very thoughtful person as well. And I think you're going to see all sides of it in this conversation. So I only have one kind of announcement or shout out that I forgot to mention in last week's show that I should mention for those of you who maybe got the episode with Maurizio Liao a little bit late. Apologies for that. I shipped the show and I announced it and I put it out in the world, and then realized I was having issues with my podcast hosting provider, and some kind of server level changes and stuff meant folks couldn't get the show. I could publish it, but people couldn't get it. And it took about 3 days to fix, but we fixed it temporarily. We've got a really strong Band-Aid on this. And I'm working on making some changes to both the website, the riseuppod.com website, and the way that it's hosted, the way that the episodes are hosted, so that this doesn't happen again. But for those of you that were poking around looking for the show with Maurizio, it's there. It should be in your queue. If you're using a podcast app, it's there on riseuppod.com, and you can get it again by going to riseuppod.com and check it out. That's show 189, I believe, with Maurizio. This show is 191. If you can listen to this one, you can listen to that one. How's that sound? If it's possible to listen to this one, it's possible to listen to that one. So we're just hitting the ball out of the park the last couple of months with the conversations here. So I don't want you to miss even one episode. That would be sad. All right, Steve O'Leary. I heard about Steve through Tom Giancola, who was on the show a month or so ago. Tom if you remember the story there, reached out and said, you should really talk to Steve. He's got a great story. And I said, okay, I will, but I want to talk to you first. And so Tom was on the show. And then a couple of weeks later, I talked to Steve. And this is a really interesting story about building community in several different formats. We're gonna talk about baking with a food truck and opening up a first location, a second location, and then doing it with family and doing it with friends and helping each other in the baker community and the whole nine yards. So let's get into it. It's a really good talk with a very interesting fella, Steve O'Leary from Black Market Breads in Annapolis, Maryland. Hey, so it's good to meet you.
It's great to meet you too, man. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I listened. I listened to my first ever when Tom was on.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I got to. I love that guy. He's a really, really sweet dude.
He is.
And so I was like, I love that. You know, I got to know you, and you're a sweet dude. two guys. I'm like, man, I can get used to this. I've listened to a few more, but it's been fun, man.
Cool. Yeah, no, it's funny because I've known Tom through the Bakers for Bakers community for a while, and he was like, oh yeah, you should talk to Steve. I was like, all right, yeah, yes, absolutely. I flipped over to your website. It was like, yes, of course, but I needed to talk to Tom too, and he thought that was pretty backhanded on my part. But it's like it's sort of like, yeah, but I got to dig into his story too. So yeah
well, he's got a cool one.
Yeah, no kidding. I still think about the little video he sent me of his setup down in his basement, and I was like, oh, that's a proper bakery. I got his house has to smell pretty good. But like I say, I was on your website, and it sounds like you got a lot going on. Like you're
man, we do. I am tired.
Yeah,
I am tired.
Well, and it kind of seems that your bakery is sort of one of those, if you know, come and eat kind of things. So fill me in. Like, what are you doing?
So, I mean, I guess just back to, I mean, you know, laughing with Tom, I feel like every story now seems like it started with like pre-COVID, COVID, and now it's like, are we out of COVID yet? But essentially, I was a caterer, and when COVID hit, the big events went away.
Yep.
You know, and there was plenty of event requests coming in, but we as you know responsible adults decided that we were going to no longer do those events, and so I was essentially unemployed, and I learned how to bake sourdough. I had a friend who was kind of getting into it, and I called him and. And then we met another baker, and I started working with her. And so anyway, I just learned, and I was doing two loaves at a time in Dutch ovens.
Oh, wow.
You know, and was just, you know, kind of rolling through that. Sorry, hang on one sec. Sorry. I'm in the bakery right now.
Oh, cool.
And so I'm sitting up front, and we have a really incredible crew here. So anyway, I was no longer catering, and I decided that I was gonna learn how to bake bread, and it was gonna be just a little passion thing for me. And then I fell in love with it. And October 2019, I bought a food truck.
Okay.
And my brother and I went in on a food truck, and the plan was we were gonna use it as a mobile kitchen for catering.
Mm-hmm.
And we quickly pivoted because catering shut down. And my brother's like, what if we try a bakery out of the food truck?
Okay.
And I said, I don't know if that's going to work, but okay. I trust you in that. And so I started baking breads at home, and I was just giving them to friends, giving to my parents, you know, that kind of stuff. And then my mom said, I think I could sell this. And I said, okay, have at it. I don't want to be a part of that, but if you want to sell it, I'll bake it.
So your mom says, I'm going to be your sales arm.
And so what she would do is I'd drop off the loaves of bread at maybe 6 a.m. and she would put it, she wrapped it up tightly in these little butcher papers with some twine, and she dropped it on doorsteps, and there would be cash waiting outside. I was selling 10 bucks a loaf. you know, I could take on maybe 8 loaves a day in the beginning and slowly we ramped it up a little bit. But yeah, it was my mom. And so she was the delivery. And then, you know, the name of our bakery ultimately ended up being Black Market Bakers.
Yeah.
Because of those early days, people said they felt like they were in the bread black market because my mom kind of flew under the cover of night. You know, it was only cash only.
Yep.
That's it. You know? And so Black Market Bakers came to be because of, you know, the early thing, which wasn't necessarily a necessity when we started. And then it kind of turned into like, hey, I don't really have a job to go back to catering because we don't know how long COVID's going to last. So, all right, let's ramp it up and sell some more and do some different flavors. And
And then, that whole idea of, just put your entire business on hold for 2 years and then we'll just magically go back and all the order, you know, the contracts will be there. And
I have kids.
Yeah. You know, like,
I've got kids. I've got a mortgage. We got to figure this thing out. But then August 2020, August 1st, we started the food truck.
Okay.
And how did it work?
How did the bakery and a food truck kind of work?
Yeah. So we have a great friend who owns a bagel company, a bagel shop in Annapolis. And we went to him and said, can we pay you hourly to use your space?
Okay.
And he said, absolutely. You know, and we said, we will hardly cross paths with your staff.
Yeah.
You know, they close it 2, they go home by 3. We were getting in there at 4, cooking till 2 a.m. and then load the truck and taking it out. And so what we did, we essentially baked everything offsite. We baked everything offsite.
Right.
And then took it there. And then on the truck, we offered breakfast sandwiches and coffees and all that stuff was made to order.
Nice.
But the very first night we opened that truck, the walk-in went down at that bagel place. so they had 2 walk-ins, one that was for us, one that was for them. Luckily theirs didn't go down. It was only ours, but every croissant we made, every sourdough we made, we went in at 4 p.m. We had missed it and it was all soup. It was such a, you know, we're like, I'm like, man, should we have done this? You know, cause at that point we had blasted it out a little bit that we were going to open this food truck up. And then we're like, man, this is how sourdough works.
Yeah.
This is how sourdough works. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
Yeah. There's nothing worse. A really early show, I was talking to some folks, in Ottawa, Canada, that when I was in Ottawa and I met them, and it was right after they had a tornado hit. And so they were without power for about 4 days, you know, in the city. And I went to the bakery as they're like cleaning out their coolers of all this stuff that was ready to bake. And they had no oven to bake it in and no cooler and stuff. And it was just, heartbreaking. I can imagine what it's, what it was like, and especially on your first day, right? Like you're nervous enough.
I know, that's exactly how it was. Yeah. And then we went out there and there was a lot of people who were like, Steven, this is so cute. And I'm like, I don't want it to be cute. I want this to be my life, you know? But we slowly picked up some, a nice chunk of followers and not social media followers, but people who were excited to see what we were going to do. And on Saturday I think we did $900 in sales on Saturday. And I was like, man, this is going to be something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next weekend, I think we maybe did $1,200 and I'm like, we're going up. This is good. You know, we were open from 7 to 11. And so it was 4 hours. It was kind of a quick little pop. And then we were doing $1,000 an hour. And then we got to where we were doing $1,500 an hour.
Oh my God.
You know, and so we're like, maybe we should find a store. You know, I don't think we can keep doing this. It is funny. I remember seeing like the speed rack, the bun racks go from like one, maybe like half of one to one, to one and a half to two to three. I'm like, where are we going to put? They can fit on the truck.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Cause if, you know, you sell everything in the truck, it's you can't go pick up more and come back.
No.
And
it was one bake. Once we got it out there, it was the idea, I think bakeries are typically kind of sellout models.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we don't want to bake a lot and have it left over because we're not going to sell it tomorrow, you know? So we just slowly And then October is kind of when it hit, where our line was about, it took about 45 minutes. So you hopped in line and it took you 45 minutes to order, and food came out fast.
Yeah.
But the anticipation was kind of, that's what we decided. We want the anticipation to build, mm-hmm. but we want you to get your food fast. And so we really made sure, I mean, a small food truck, we would have 6 or 7 people in there working. Jeez. And we just, trying to push it out fast.
Yeah.
Some days is obviously better. And then we were fighting the extreme heat. It's like 95 degrees in the summer and humid.
Yeah.
And then in the winter, I'd get in there and the floor would still be wet from the ice from the night before, from the cleaning the day before. It was just honestly it was the perfect storm of people coming and COVID. They needed a place to be. They needed a place to eat. They wanted to be outside. They wanted it to be safe. And I think that, it just was, COVID was really difficult for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of businesses suffered. And then I think some businesses were built on this, supportive community.
Yes.
Idea.
Yeah. Big time.
And I think that's what they kind of, the support that we still feel, I don't know why it's so deep. Mm-hmm. Tom at Makeitha is the same thing. He has this built-in community where people will support him all the way.
Yeah.
All the way. And so I think, it's a cool little niche we found in this area that really doesn't exist, which is like good food, but, the community is kind of what we're chasing.
Yeah. Well, and where, I don't really know your part of the world at all. Like, where did you set up, where there were that many people coming to see you and stuff?
So we set up a little bit outside of like downtown Annapolis, like the proper city. And we actually were off of, a main road, but in mm-hmm. the parking lot of a Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
Just like, a random little spot. And we were, we were tucked off the road. So again, it was kind of like you had to know we were there to get there. Which was why I thought it wasn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, is there going to be enough traffic coming through there? I think ultimately it kind of played into our favor where people were like, oh, no, this is a secret. It's a secret spot. They have a secret menu, which we didn't want to be secret. We wanted to be, we wanted the traffic. It was a perfect storm, and we wanted to go into it with a little bit of like modesty.
Yeah.
Like we're not trying to, we're not chasing Michelin stars here. We want to put out good food and want to do it honestly and with integrity. And I think, people can pick up on that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's sort of like you're sort of creating that safe outdoor space, which people needed that first summer. Like, I remember that so vividly here because there was a burger place a couple blocks from us that really quickly in 2020 shifted. Like if they had an app, I don't know if anybody used the app, but by George, people used the app to order, and they, got the speakers outside. So you walked up to the window to order and stuff. And that entire summer, it was like 45 minute wait for a burger. Like, you can go in now and get one in 5 minutes, but then it was like 45 minutes because everybody was there, and then you could go to the park and eat it because it was a nice day. Right. And it was such it was just such a break from being in your house all week. Like we would make sure we'd go once a week, and
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that feeling of, I need to be around other people, you're probably doing some therapy, having a bit of a line, I don't know about 45 minutes, but it's because just to be within a couple meters of someone else for a change,
I think that was the fun thing also. And I'm sure this is the same there where like, the converse there was, you're 6 feet apart.
Yeah.
And we were not shy about it. If you showed up without a mask, we'd give you a mask.
Yeah.
Stand in line. Yeah. And I think that also made people feel like, oh, these people are not just caring about selling food.
Yeah.
They're caring about, one another.
Totally.
But the conversation between the people, I'd walk out there and just kind of say hi. And, it was most of the time was for me to walk I called it the menu walk. And I'd go out and I'd say, hey, if you're here for this, this, or this, sorry, we don't have it. You know, sold out. The conversation was, you know, have you been here before? Yeah. And it'd be two strangers talking. By the time they got to the front after 45 minutes chatting, they're friends.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then the next week, you know, they plan to go together. And then the next week their families are setting up. People would open up trunks and they'd mm-hmm. be sitting there on the end of their trunks eating their foods together. I mean, it was really
yeah.
The whole thing as it came together was much more of a, I'm not even sure what the word would be, but it was an experience.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I think people thought that, man, thank you guys for doing this. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm thinking, man, thank you guys for doing this.
Yeah.
You know, you're taking this time out of your day to come stand in line. You know, there's going to be a line and you're still doing it and you're supporting us. And you know, that was my outlet every week too.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
I got to go out there and be surrounded by like these friends I only saw once a week. But you know, we're friends. I'm friends with a good chunk of the people who started coming out to that truck early.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You
don't outside get of the those business
folks. Sense. Oh yeah.
No.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's been and then we opened up the store.
Yeah. And you know, so when did you open up the store then?
So we opened up the store 20 months after we opened the truck up. So we were in the truck for about 2 years. The store took us forever to open up. You know, they say the supply chain was what we kept hearing. The supply chain. You know, like, oh my gosh, on deck ovens? Really? I guess everything. But
yeah.
And so we opened up April 15th, 2022. So we just celebrated our 1 year anniversary here.
Wow. Congrats.
Thank you so much. And this also has been such a whirlwind. You know, yeah. I mean, an incredibly positive thing, but man, it's definitely had its ups and downs and more ups. I mean, the ups are so much higher than the lows of the downs, but, it's just been, I mean, I think we had a fear of people saying, I wish they would have stayed a food truck.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I know that the imposter syndrome is real amongst people who are doing any sort of creative outlet.
Well, because your input costs go way, way up, right? Like it's as crazy as the food truck is, you're running it lean, you know, and
exactly.
it's like, and all of a sudden you've got a much bigger weight on your ankle when you're like signing leases, I mean, and all of that.
Exactly.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. The overhead was,
yeah.
I mean, you know, we paid the food truck off in about a year.
Yeah.
With the sales from the bakery and, you know, some other things. And so it was like, that was kind of like made in the shade.
Yeah.
And we were only in front of customers 8 hours a week.
Oh geez. Yeah. Yeah.
And now we're in front of customers, 70 hours, yeah. something like that, yeah. you know, it's just like, no, 60 hours. And so it's just like, wow, here we are. It's a real deal. Get out and do it now.
Yeah.
Yes, we opened up the store and, you know, the very first day we thought, all right, how do we scale this? Mm-hmm. So let's bake four times what we used to do on a weekend day.
Right.
And let's see where that gets us.
Yeah.
And we sold out of everything sweet by 10 a.m.
Wow.
So from 6:30, we opened at 6:30 and 10 a.m. we were sold out. And we baked tomorrow's bake. We baked the next day's bake. So then we're in here just trying to like, how the heck are we going to keep up? And we just said, we only have two hands and we're not going to kill it. We're not going to kill ourselves to do it. And we're going to ask for the same forgiveness that we asked when we ran out of stuff there.
Yeah.
We're going to say, you know, instead of spinning and saying, we're so sorry we ran out, we're going to spin it and say, we're so grateful that you guys bought us out.
Yeah.
You know?
Good for you.
And
yeah.
And then that was kind of, you know, that kind of set the tone for, you know, the space.
So, well, and I get, that kind of answers the question that's been in my mind a bit. It's cause you've had the catering background. So I'm just going to assume you're relatively organized and you know, I can plan things out. Cause I, you know, catering for me to get it all ready at the same time. I don't quite understand how you're able to do it, but you do, you know, caterers do. How do you build a team that can now run this thing and produce all of this stuff five days a week when you're going from sort of Dutch ovens to then the bagel shop to this? What was that like for you?
Oh gosh. So Well, first, I'll start. I was terrible at catering.
Yeah.
I think, I hope there's not any like any wedding guests that are going to listen to this, because I was a ball of anxiety. I was a ball of anxiety. So the same question you're saying is, how do you guys get it out? Every single event, I thought, how the hell am I going to get this out? But the same thing, you know, you build this team around you, and you, you know, I think most of this, like you thinking of like, I don't know how I get it out. It's because you're thinking about how would you alone, Mark, get that out? When in reality, you know, you divvy it up right and you delegate enough, and all of a sudden it comes together. I think letting go of, I had certain strict visions of how I saw like the plating or this or that or that. I think also letting go of those things and saying at some point, just, is it going to be hot and is it going to get out on time, is enough.
Yeah.
And so anyway, when I switched over to baking, I found that anxiety, that baking the bread turned cathartic for me. Handling the dough, doing all that was actually the reverse of what catering did. And so my anxiety level came down. And so I was able to think more clearly about like the next move. Because a lot of times that's what it comes down to, is what do I need to do next? I have a list of 10 things right now in my head, and I want to do all of them right now, but I just need to pick one and just do it. And so let's just do that. And so I think, you know, I think slowing it down and actually, you know, you can't bake fast. You can't speed certain things up, you know? And I think bread is like a lesson in patience, because sometimes you do everything right and the next morning you bake it up and you don't know why, you don't know what's happening. And then you go through the troubleshooting piece. And I think that's the kind of thinking that I've moved into, where I feel peace. So catering can go away forever. And now, you know, now I've got my eyes on this. And then building a team, this has been an incredible lesson. So I'm in this business with my dad and brother. They are, so the three of us are partners, and we make equal decisions. And my dad, he's been in the restaurant business for a long time. And my brother's been in the restaurant business for a long time. And this is my first restaurant. For some reason, biting off the morning flow versus the afternoon flow seemed more doable for me. And I think that has proven to be pretty true. But, you know, bakeries are different than restaurants too. They're just a different beast. You know, we're here 24 hours a day. Restaurants are not that. So building a team, you know, the way that we try to do that is we care about people. We really deeply care about people, you know. We hire people for soft skills, not hard skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I mean, I have a joke in here, but it's kind of real, that I have hired a few people because of their laughs.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah.
I've had a conversation with somebody and I'm like, that laugh is contagious. And I want people to walk in the store and hear that.
Yeah.
And I can teach you how to do certain things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Any, you know, we have some stuff that, you know, we pay more than fair wages. You know, we definitely, everybody across the board gets tipped. So we don't just tip front of house, the right. Back of house, everybody gets, you know, the same. And so anyway, I think people assume that money is going to be the thing that makes employees happy. Throw money at it. And I think what we found is that when you genuinely care about somebody, you give them a voice, you give them a seat at your table, you give them your ear when they're going through something. I think that's when loyalty really pops out.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously money is involved in making sure that they feel, you know, taken care of in that way. But we have a set, we have six, you know, we've got six core values that we run this business by. And I think they're probably different than, you know, other restaurants, but that's kind of, you know, that's our number one is, you know, the golden rule, do unto others. The message is, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated.
Yeah.
And that has been the easiest one to point back to when there's an issue, you know? And a lot of times I say the easiest way to get out of, like, if there's a funk and somebody says something, the easiest way to get out of that is to say, you know, what do you mean by that? And then you can, you know, communication is a beautiful thing. And so we operate this thing where our community is more powerful than our budget.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah. No, I agree with you. You know, it's sort of like, if you're scrambling around trying to figure out how you're going to make rent, that's one thing. But it's like, if it's like, okay, I've got that figured out, I can afford to live here, then it's like, okay, what's the quality of the work experience, I guess.
I think quality of, I mean, like we spend more time together here than we do with our family.
Totally. Oh yeah.
You know? And so, yeah. You know, it's like, how do we guarantee that the quality of life in your job mm-hmm. is going to help the quality of your life outside of your job?
Yeah.
We have a friend who, she started this thing called the Rising Tide Society, this community called the Rising Tide Society. And the concept started for creatives. She was a photographer and she was wondering, why is this field so competitive?
Yeah.
You know, does it have to be this?
Yeah.
And so she started this, really her and her husband. And the tagline is, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah.
And how a community over competition, you know, like, sure, there's healthy competition, you know,
sure.
And like, you know, that's what makes businesses thrive within a certain community. However, I don't need to wish ill will on you.
Yes.
To do better.
Well, absolutely. Like it still sticks with me, a conversation I had a couple of years ago with someone that said, you know, we have to get over the fact that we actually want our customers to be eating at several restaurants around town. Like they don't have to, every time I eat out, it has to be at my place. Like I'm not, you know, you're trying to do your thing the best you can and stay connected with people. But it's like, no, I hope you support a lot of other businesses. Cause if you're the only place in town, it's a pretty dull town, you know?
It's true. And I think, you know, I think my relationship with Tom is an incredible example, because Tom and I, we're in competition with one another, right? I mean, quote unquote, he sells bread and I sell bread.
Right.
But you know, the conversation we have all the time is, when people buy good sourdough, it helps my business as well, because then they say, hey, I got the best sourdough in Annapolis. And I got it from this guy. And then they come in here and they see sourdough on the menu and they get it from me. And then they go back and they, you know, and so I think that, you know, like Tom and I, we, you know, we share recipes, you know, and that's not, I don't feel so bound. You know, I know that some bakeries make their employees sign NDAs.
Yeah, I know.
Or non-competes. And I'm like, no. That's not how we're going to do it. We're going to make our food matter, but you know, the importance of this place is not the recipes we put in. You know, what makes Black Market special is not the, like today I shared the ciabatta, our ciabatta recipe with Tom, and he's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Thank you. And I'm like, absolutely, make it, you know?
Well, yeah. Well, and the thing that non-bakers don't understand is Tom's not going to do it exactly the way you do anyways, because he's going to fit his process and his taste. And, you know, there isn't a formula I had at Orange Boot Bakery that wasn't based on something that someone else was doing or something I took at a class or, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Our best-selling loaf, pretty darn close to the sourdough multigrain that I made at SFBI, right? Like it's just, but it, you know, it's different because I had a different production schedule and I'm using different flour and that kind of stuff. But it's like,
yeah,
there's only so much you can do with four ingredients to make it different.
That's true. I know.
And yet you can line them up and do a blind taste test. And it's like, they're all different, you know, like it's the craziest, it's the most beautiful thing. It's like the thing that I also keep in mind a lot is that 85% of people are buying their stuff at Walmart anyways, right? So it's not so anything you can do to get five more people a week turned on to the good stuff, then you're all doing better off, right?
Like that's absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, it's not like there's only 12 people in Annapolis that are eating good bread. I guess we got to fight, you know, to get our share of the 12.
I want those. Yeah.
But
I think though, I mean, unfortunately, I think that there's a good chunk of people that you know, that competition outweighs that, where they, you know, where, and like, I think that the tide is, I mean, I think, you know, not to use that thing again, but I think, you know, I think it's changing. I think that there's a shift where, you know, all of a sudden, COVID kind of inspired all these new, you know, these new restaurants or bakeries or even businesses were formed, and really out of people's homes. And then, you know, we find out about it, and I would rather buy, you know, a homemade cookie from I don't know, Kaylee down the street, than go out and get them made at, again, Walmart, you know, like it's, and I know it's going to cost me more. And I know I'm gonna have to go out of my way to do it, but it seems like, why would I not support somebody down the street from me who I know exactly where their money is going to go? And I can see the kids, I can see their child's face versus, I don't know where the money's going.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Keeping it in the community and stuff, you know, being stuck at home for that period of time, at least you got to, I think folks got to know their neighbors a little, or got to see them a little bit more, you know, like, and so, yeah, well, I'm the kind of person that would want to hold on to that for as long as possible.
For no, sure. Absolutely. I mean, we have three kids. So I've got an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, and then a COVID baby. She's a year.
Wow.
And
a half. Wow.
And you know, the time that I had when I was baking the bread, I mean, I was actually at Tom's house 2 nights ago.
Okay.
I needed to borrow some flour. So I was at his house, and I said, you know how funny it is that your daughter, when she's, you know, of school age, she's going to go to people's houses and say, where's your bakery? You know, she's going to walk in and say, this is a cool house, but why is there no bakery in your basement? And I think about my kids, I have memories of going down in the morning and smelling something that my parents were cooking.
Right.
And my kids are going to have memories because of COVID and because of me cooking the sourdough or baking the sourdough at home. They're going to remember the smell of fresh bread. And that is going to hit them at some point, the same way that when somebody walks in here and says, I haven't smelled this since I, you know, was, I don't know. I mean, we had one guy came in recently and said, I haven't smelled like the smell of like a fresh chocolate croissant since I lived in Belgium when I was 6.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, yeah, that's so specific. And I know that memory is specific. And truthfully, that's what we're chasing with food.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You're chasing memories so much. Yeah. Our Otto was this old fella that used to come into the shop. And when we started making sourdough rise, he just said, like, I haven't had anything like this since I was a kid in Poland. And he was old enough that, like, he left in World War II as a kid kind of thing, right? You know, like that's what got him to Canada and stuff. And it's like, and that was just the coolest thing, you know, like when you hear those stories from folks, you can't stop making it then. It's sort of like, I guess I'm making this for life now, because
I'm not letting Otto down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, no kidding. But well, no, I feel that the same way. You see something in a window or in a shop, and it takes you back to a trip you took, or you know, some earlier experience. All the time, it's taste is weird that way. Like food's weird how it's a magnet to those memories. You know, yeah.
God, I love that magnet to the memory. That's a great line. Yeah, so, it is. I
mean. Yeah. So the shop's going well. You're still busy and stuff, or is like how's that journey been?
Yeah. Yeah. So we the last year has been, we had a fantastic first year. We were, you know, over our projections, which was a huge, you know, which is again a massive gift and unexpected, and you know, in those moments all we feel is gratitude.
Oh sure. You know, yeah.
We're just like, "Oh my gosh."
Well, and that's also the accomplishment that you've also then figured out how to make that much as well, right? Like there's two pluses to every time you're over your projections.
Yeah.
It's like I was able to make it and I could sell it. Yeah.
Yeah. We're definitely not, you know, every week we're trying to figure out how to systematize this bake.
Sure. Yep.
And we are having a hard time because our numbers are going up every week. And so, you know, I'm like, can we put it into a spreadsheet? there's got to be a formula. We can just bump it a couple percent every week. But you know, it's hard to kind of find that. But yeah, we are baking about probably over, I'm trying to think sourdough. We're probably baking over 1,000 loaves a week.
Wow. Good for you.
Something like that. And then, you know, on top of that, you know, 55% of our sales weekly are pastry.
Right.
You know, so we have, laminated, and we have, you know, muffins and scone, you know, your normal pastry run out. And we actually just opened up a second location. And so what we're doing here is we're doing it kind of similar to how we did the truck, where this is the commissary. And so we're producing here.
Sure.
And we're taking it over there in the mornings and then doing the made to order foods as well.
Sure. Totally.
And that's been about a week and a half, and that's showing signs of success, which is exciting. And then also the fear of like, oh no, wow, this is real. We're in it now.
So the second location has been open a week and a half.
It opened up. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I guess what was like the fifth, actually on the day of our first anniversary. So the 15th.
Wow. You're really going. Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. Cause I noticed that on the website, like sort of the two locations there. And I wasn't sure if the second one was the food truck still, or, but you've got another sort of satellite spot then.
Yeah. So we were approached by, it's actually at a marina. So it's on the water.
Oh, wow.
And it kind of felt, I mean, it came together beautifully. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was not irresponsible for us to expand so quickly. You know, we felt like it was well within our reach.
Right.
And you know, my brother and I, my dad, he said he's become a little bit more risk averse, and my brother and I are kind of pushing forward a little. My dad's like, I don't know how many more I can do. You know, he's like, I'm getting old. And I'm like, no, you love this, you know? But the bakery's just been, it's been a gift. We have about 45 employees now. And you know, on any given day we have weekends, we have about 25 in house at one time. So when we're open, so I mean, our bakery is about 4,000 square feet, something like that. And so, you know, 25 employees occupying that with the, you know, 50 or so customers that are in here. It's a nice, it is the exact warmth that we want. You know, we think that a small space brings people closer. And so we're like, let's not do something huge. Let's keep it small. And, you know, if I can touch you, I'm going to say hi to you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. I'm so happy for you. Like, just the sound of your voice, you bring a lot of joy to what you do. So I'm really glad that everything's working for you. And it's got to feel like you're kind of flying a little bit, hey? Because it's 2023, but my gosh, like everything changed for you over 3 years to go from,
I mean,
I'm catering to food truck to 4,000 square foot bakery to satellite location, bing, 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 like that. That's a wild ride.
It has been a, it's, you know, we had this tagline in the first like month that we were open where we would say, you know, people would say, how are you? And we would just say joyfully exhausted, you know, where it's like, man, we are in it. And, I mean, I also think like, you know, I'm still working a lot right now. You know, I'm not putting in what I was a year ago at all, and not even close, or even 6 months ago. You know, but I'm working probably between, you know, 60 and 70 hours a week. And those hours typically start between midnight and 2. And so I'm working, you know, so it's, my circadian rhythm is a little jacked.
But it's just sort of the growth that you've experienced, sort of the speed of doing it. But is pretty wild to me, because I'm pretty slow and methodical when it comes to doing new things. But I think just having like your dad's experience or having that restaurant experience to draw upon must make the things that I might find scary and risky might not be such a big deal to you, whereas other you know, so it's maybe a different list on the scary side of things. I don't know.
Yes. I mean, anytime money isn't, anytime large amounts of money are involved, you know, the pressure goes up. Just because, you know, money brings people together, it can also pull people apart.
Sure. Yeah.
But the way that we went into this thing was, my brother and I were going to kind of lead the charge.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was going to kind of be the guy who, was going to, you know, stand back. And when we had questions or didn't know which direction to head in, that we were going to, you know, turn to him and he was going to kind of be our sounding board.
Gotcha.
Also his signature is worth more than mine. So, you know, he has that's definitely a piece of it. But, I think that we believe in this business and we bet on ourselves, and we knew that even if we lost the business, we wouldn't lose each other. My brother, dad, and I. And so I think that there's the pressure that our relationships were not built in the restaurant business. You know, our relationships were built on a different foundation. And so when restaurant business goes away, the gatherings at my parents' house with all of my nieces and nephews and brother and sister, all that, those are all still going to be there.
Right on.
We have a rule that when we're with each other, that we're going to talk about the bakery. It cannot be the first thing we talk about when we see each other outside of the bakery. My brother came up with that rule, and that's ours. You know,
good
we
for you.
With that. But I think that, you know, me and the three of us, we meet every week, and we don't let resentments last long. We don't let, you know, I think there's the big piece of this, and if you want to include this, is we're all recovering addicts and alcoholics. My dad, brother, and I, the three of us, we all have the shortest that we, one of us has been sober is 10 years. And so, you know, we're in a thank you. And so we are in a, you know, we have this mindset that one, a group is stronger than an individual. And, you know, that, we practice certain principles, whether it's in, Alcoholics Anonymous or not.
Right.
And that's what keeps us, as contributing citizens, and makes us, you know, valuable coworkers, and makes us reliable bosses. And I think, you know, that is our foundation.
Good
our
for
foundation
you.
is that there is that there is something way beyond us controlling this thing. And, you know, we just, yeah, our goal is to, serve people, serve one another. And if that starts with food, which we think it can and it should start with food. I mean, just like you said, food's a magnet. I think it's a magnet for memory, but I also think it's a magnet for just general emotion. So if we can drag, I mean, if we can, I don't want to drag anybody in here. If we can get somebody in here, because they love a blueberry muffin, and then we get to have a valuable conversation, a meaningful conversation with them. I hope that the conversation is better than the muffin. I don't know if that makes, that was some blathering.
No, it makes absolute sense. Absolute sense. And I just want to reflect back that the awareness that you've described between the three of you on, you know, we've got to make this thing work, to make the business work, and to make our relationships work, we're going to put some rules in place. We're going to put some boundaries in place that you've probably earned through hard experience in your life. But it's like, but that awareness, I think, is so important. I don't know. I'm feeling something right now. Just, you know, because folks get into stuff together, and they get into partnerships, and they get into projects together, and aren't able to talk at that level and really work things out at that level. And I've got some friends that I'm have in mind right now that it's sort of like avoiding conversations that I bet you're actually having. And so good for you. Like
thank you.
Personally, I feel that's so important. So
yeah, well, we have, I mean, you know, I can't say it. My dad, Tom, he's a force, and he's you know, he's gentle though. And he's just has, you know, he is, I think there's a lot of things that my brother and I, we, we respond to certain situations. And I think sometimes I'm like, where the hell did that come from? And I'm like, it's just osmosis. It's osmosis of being, yeah. of being around, you know, being around a person who, you know, my dad, there's certain, I mean, you know, the turnover in restaurants is, you know, is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my dad, he's had restaurants for 25 years and he has employees there who have been there for 25 years.
That's so amazing. You know?
And it's not just front of house. It's not just back of house. It's across. And I think that that is a testament to the fact that we might not be able to pay you the most right now. I know that you need money. If that's your main driver for why you're getting a job, you might want to look somewhere else. But if you can afford, you know, if you can afford to be here and trust us, you know, then we can find, you know, we can find a permanent home for you. And that I think that level of psychological security is something that people value more than, you know, the quick payday. The grass is not greener.
Exactly. And I think if you can hold that posture as the leader, it does you well. You know, the coffee shop where I'm working at right now, they're going through a lot of turnover, and I can kind of feel I can sense that sort of, oh, here we go again, kind of frustration from the owners and stuff. And it's sort of like, yeah. Oof, it takes real work to flip that story in your own mind as the leader, right? And to say like, okay, we have to tell a different story when we're hiring, I think, you know, to kind of select the right people, you know. And it's not like, oh, okay, you've got experience working the sandwich line at a different place before, so you'll be fine. It's like, well, that's one question. You know, yeah. We've got some other questions too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I think, you know, once you, again, that's why we hire for these soft skills. And
yeah, say, totally.
Wow. This is the meat.
Yes.
This is the meat here. This is what we want.
Yeah.
And then once those people come into your business and, or your, I mean, Mark, I'm going to give you a host of books that I just feel like have been so powerful for this thought, but getting people to buy in when they come in and you say, you know, how are you? And they say, I'm good. How are you? You said, no, I can tell that you are upset about something. How are you? You know, and we, you know, we have it's a saying, not a sign. I think I'm going to get a sign on the back door that says it, but you get to leave your bummer here. You get to leave your bummer at the door. And the mentality behind that is this place can be your safe place. I'm not saying you have to leave it there. I'm not saying you need to leave it there, but you get to come in here and work for the next few hours and be present with us. And then I even say, like, let's even treat that door as the threshold. If you want to talk to me about something personal, I want to listen to you. Let's go outside, you know, let's breathe. Let's talk. And don't feel like you need to bring anything into this place. And I'm not saying compartmentalize.
No.
I'm just saying, I want you to come in here and know that this is your dome. This is your dome of safety. Or
Yeah. No, I totally get it. I totally get it. Here's an opportunity. And it's like, and what's going on might be too much. you might not be able to take the opportunity, but at least here's an opportunity to say, like, okay, you're in a good spot right now, you know, and so just feel some peace.
Let's laugh for 6 hours. yeah, exactly. So I think that, you know, we never stop laughing in here. And that is it's not manufactured. It is, there are some, I mean, we, you know, I, we talk to guests like we know them. Not like they're our best friends, but that we've seen them before, you know? And I think that's kind of the message here too, is like, don't be afraid to tell these guys, you know, something that you love. Don't be afraid to talk about something outside of baked goods. Don't be afraid, you know, don't be afraid to tell a joke or to maybe go a little too far. Like, you know, like, that's okay. Let's make this place the experience that the truck was. You know, how do we bring all that into this place? Can we do that? You know, let's not force it, but is it doable? And I think that's probably what people feel most is when they come in here. You know, we get a lot of comments that are something like, gosh, the food is good, but the people are better. And that for me is the ultimate compliment.
Yeah, for sure. Because there's that excitement when you walk in. Like I used to always say at the bakery, like folks are always excited when they come in, and sometimes it's to see what's new in the display case, but sometimes it's just to see us, feel the energy, you know, just kind of experience a bit of joy through osmosis, right?
Huh. Quick little, there's this concept that one of our bakers, I mean, our bakers are incredible. And we have this one girl, Hannah, and she said the other day, she sent me something and said, I love this concept. And the concept is called a joy snack. Have you heard this before? This
concept? No.
Where it's just these little things in your life that it's not abundance of joy. It's just a little snack,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's coming in and seeing the something come out of the oven, or it is seeing, you know, a shirt from your hometown, mm-hmm. or it's seeing, and it's these little things that they feed you for a short little burst, and it gives you, you know, it just gives you some sort of just joy, you know? And I think, you know, I think that's what we're doing here is I want little joy snacks, you know? I want a conversation, or I want a bite, or I want a smell. I want that to just be, you know, enough to drive a little bit of joy into somebody. So it's a nice little thought.
Thanks. Well, this has been more than a snack for sure. It's been great talking to you, Steve. Really has.
It's been really great chatting with you too, Mark. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Well, yeah. Well, and yeah, then good luck for the new place and the old place and wherever it takes you, you know, like, my gosh, I'm feeling a little weird right now because it's sort of like, I don't know. Well, I think it's just the joy in your voice. It's like I have no idea what your place is like. I want it to go well for you because it sounds like you're doing a really good job. So, yeah.
Well, really appreciate that. And, you know, from the time I listened to you, and I mean, you're the podcast I listened to with you and Tom, I'm like, this person loves people. And I know that because you interview people and, you know, getting into like the whys instead of the what's or something. I'm not really sure how that goes, but
I get it. Yeah. Like this, my friends who aren't bakers that know I have this podcast says, oh, Mark has a baking podcast. So when one of their friends is like, well, I'm getting into baking or it's my new hobby. Oh, you should listen to Mark's podcast. It's like, no, please come listen. But no, it's
not. We're not talking it's not about recipes.
Yeah.
We're not throwing recipes out there. I mean, there's so much heart. There's so much. I've never met a non-emotional baker.
No, you know? Oh no.
There's not bakers who are like icy. But, you know, they're
reason. That's the whole reason I started this, because my entire time when we ran the bakery is I got so much help and good wishes and camaraderie from everybody that I met in the baking field, like through the guild or whatever. Just like,
yeah.
Any, you know, if I went into a shop and I'd be shy as all get out, and it's like, you know, my wife would be like, well, you know, we have this bakery. Oh my God, you have a bakery too. Come on to the back. And that whole thing, like any problem at all, you could phone someone up and they'd help. They'd be glad to help you. And it was just like, I need to put something in the world that captures that feeling, you know, because people, and you know, because folks think of, like, they see the Food Network and they think it's competition and it's this, and maybe it is in culinary. I don't know. But that's not been my experience in baking at all. So, yeah.
Well, that's special. One quick little note. We had somebody throw away our starter. Our mother got thrown away. And I said, can we salvage that? And there's eggshells in it and the whole thing. Okay, it's trash. And who came to the rescue but another baker said, take my starter. And that was Tom. And that's how our relationship started.
Yep.
Right there.
Oh, yeah.
Our relationship started on that thing. He said, I've got some really dank and stinky. Do you want it? And I said, send it. Send it. You know, and I think, you know, it's crazy to think that Tom's fingerprints are in this place and he's not affiliated with it whatsoever. And I don't know if Tom started that or if, you know, he built that, if somebody else gave him, but but the message is, man, there is enough for everybody. There's enough to go around, and all we can do is, you know, root for success. That's it. That's all. Ultimately, we all want to go home and want to kiss our wife and kiss our kids. Let's just get there. Let's get there and, you know, and feel good about it, you know, and feel good about the decisions we make today.
Yeah, you got it. Fun. Really nice talk. You know, I know, because you're smarter than I am, I know that you caught the layers in this conversation. Where on the one hand, we're talking about growth, and it's like, oh, my mom's selling my bread. Oh, I've got a food truck. Oh, I've got a bakery. Oh, I've got a second location. And this is just like every year, it's like this quantum leap that they're making. But I think you also got a really good sense of the type of person that Steve is, and his brother and his dad are, and his family, and how they think about people, both the people that they serve and the people that work in the bakery, and how you can't have this growth if you don't have those foundations of relationships. And hearing Steve talk about the intentionality behind the relationships with his family and the relationships with his employees, and then their relationship with customers is really compelling for me. And I'm very grateful that Steve was willing to dig into it and to share that kind of stuff with us, because I just think that's gold. It sounds like he's got a great thing going there in Annapolis. Sounds like he's fully embracing this culture of sharing and giving, and truly this idea that, you know, the rising tide lifts all boats, right? And if he's part of a healthy and robust food scene in Annapolis, it's going to help him out, and it's going to help everyone else out. And so that's kind of why we're here, right? Let's get as many bakeries as possible out there in the world so that the folks in your neighborhood have easy access to the good stuff. It was a real joy talking with him. I'm so glad we had this talk, and I'm really glad that I was able to share it with you. So until next week, when I'm back in Victoria and you're back at your bakery and you're around the bench looking for another conversation, we're going to have one. It's coming up next week. Until then, work hard, bake lots, keep making the good stuff, stay healthy, stay safe, happy baking. Bye-bye.